What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Good morning, folks. We have got a serious lineup for you today. We're going to talk to Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. There was a Washington Post article by Doug McMillan that was outlining practices by the NOPD relative to facial recognition technology. I read through the article a bunch of times. I have my own attitude about what was said there. We'll talk to Dr. Gallagher about this and the modification of policies by the NOPD as they investigate the utilization of third-party assistance. We're going to visit with Daniel Flannery, a professor and director of Begun Center for Violence Prevention at Case Western University. There is a recent report out about the staggering number of U.S. overdose deaths, how they fell sharply in 2024. Everyone's running around trying to figure out why. The what is the reduction. The why is something that is a lot more elusive. A lot of folks are taking credit for those reductions. I say not so fast. We'll dig deep with Daniel Flannery. Liz Murrell, the Louisiana Attorney General, joins us. We'll talk about the Orleans Parish jailbreak, the role that her investigation will play. It's already starting to reveal itself in many different ways with the enforcement arm of her office. And we'll speak with the Attorney General about that, and as well as House Bill 675, post-conviction relief, and HB 64 about nitrous oxide and how that those bills are working their way through the state legislature. Kay Usen on our NOLA Coalition segment, Executive Director of Mission Rebirth. We talk about what they do in our neighborhood, the place that we call home in New Orleans, and we'll visit with Kay. Laura Canizara-Rodrigue, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor. We're going to talk about the rap sheet of these individuals that escaped. We'll talk about other pending charges that didn't go forward. They were dropped. The DA spoke about these yesterday as to why they didn't go forward. We'll get her thoughts about these charges and other issues going on with the prosecution of same. Well, the horror continues, right? The embarrassment continues. The story will not get off the national news cycles because the way that it's unwinding, and thankfully, no one has been injured. This is a dangerous jambalaya right now. The best thing that the remaining six inmates can do is turn themselves in, because this is a recipe for disaster. We have a blog posted about it. If you want to go to the Odyssey.com app, you can pull it up, where I spell out a lot of what's going on here and what the downstream implications are. And they're huge. Some people are underreacting, some are reacting, and some are overreacting. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit of everything here. But obviously, this national media coverage that we have of this is not good for us, not good for the city. It's horrible. We tend to look like a bunch of bumbling idiots. It's the Three Stooges revisited, and it continues to get worse. In fact, breaking news, you know, where they just arrested a maintenance worker who said that the inmates threatened to shank him if he did not turn off the water. Because you see, the moment in time that they would break that, all of that free, there was going to be water gone all over the place, and that would be a telltale sign that Houston, we have a problem. So these particular inmates had figured out, well, we got to do something about that. So this is what they did. They threatened a maintenance worker, and he turned the water off. Again, I think what we're going to find is, and let me just add this caveat. Some of this is conjecture on my part. I don't think I've been in this area of that jail. I've been in the jail, but I don't know that I've been in this area. But I know when the jail was built that they had decided to embark upon what is called a direct supervision model. And a direct supervision model is one where you have a lot of interaction between the guards and the inmates, right? And you're actually developing a rapport with these individuals, right? This is a much softer approach to having people locked up. You try to avert conflict. You deploy conflict resolution techniques, things of that nature. Where this model has been successful, what you find are correctional officers that are very well educated. They go through a lot of training. Training is the key. There's a lot of backup support there. When you have a big, robust classification system of inmates rolling into this facility, significant background checks on families, relationships to employees. There's a whole backroom process that goes on that has to happen in order for there to be a high level of success in the deployment of a direct supervision model. It doesn't just happen. You got to make it happen. A lot of times these folks of this particular ideology believe that this is the first step and the most important step to rehabilitation, to kind of assimilate these individuals and to creating dialogue with folks, to not fear authority, to reduce the level of violence inside of a jail. That's why we call them residents, because we're going to make them feel better about what they are being held responsible for out on the street, no matter how horrific it is, right? It's the touchy-feely approach to make them feel better. Does it work? I don't know. I don't know that we've ever done a study significant enough where we're looking at these individuals 3, 4, 5, 6 years after release to see where they are, why they are, what they're doing, or otherwise. But we're always talking about this over-incarceration problem, and that's an outcome. We don't look at the most obvious why contributed contributor to over-incarceration. And they say we're over-incarcerated because we have numbers statistically that are statistically significantly greater than other nations. But the one thing that we bypass is that we offend at a much higher rate as well. I mean, go figure. How easy is to connect that dot, right? I mean, when we look at overdose rates, when we look at drug addiction disorder here in this country, so pretty much an overrepresentation of all of that in our population, right? And then we're surprised by the level of incarceration, and we hadn't figured out that the public and the UN cry in the street is people want to feel safe in their neighborhood, so they want more aggressive policing in order to lock up the bad guy, to selectively incapacitate these individuals to the greatest extent so that they are no longer a threat to society. And then we look at the numbers and say, oh my God, look at all the people that we arrested. Well, yeah. That's what you asked us to do. And of course, then we start looking at disproportionate impact, disproportionate this, disproportionate that, and they want to make it the police fault that we're arresting these folks that shouldn't be arrested. And you're over-policing different racial neighborhoods. So we should not look at the statistics where there's an over-representation of violent crime in those areas. So we shouldn't go to there, and we shouldn't deploy the assets and resources that are necessary, because we're in the circle and we're coming right back to being guilty of over-incarcerating individuals. Then we went after the bond system, and the bond system is bad. Again, we don't want to hold people accountable. So what did we do? We started letting them out. And what did they do? They started committing crime, and recidivism rates went up. Go figure. Because we're not looking at the individual. We're trying to deal with this on a macro level, is that, you know, these are all... they fall into all these different categories. And the sad reality of all of this is each and every one of these inmates, they're a unicorn. I don't know what tickles their fancy. I know they don't want to work. They don't want to do the right thing. They don't want to conform to the customs of society. They want to walk to the beat of a different drum. And then we get them in prison, and all of a sudden we want to treat them differently and give them the respect that they've not earned. So, in a reality here is that it's nothing but excuses. Excuse, 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 excuse. I told you yesterday that you have a limited number of deputies, you're outnumbered, probably 40, 50 to 1. And you have to adhere to the internal security protocols, or you got a problem, or somebody's going to get hurt, or you're going to have an escape. And this is what happens. The fact that an inmate can threaten a maintenance worker, where the maintenance worker feels as though his life may be at risk, and you're having direct contact with that while the maintenance worker may be dealing with an issue on a particular piece of space in a jail, highlights yet another problem. When you have multiple people going in direct contact with them, you put them on lockdown. It doesn't work that way. Or you bring in more help. Because what does the maintenance worker bring to the table when he appears inside of a piece of geography inside that building? Yes, you got it. You've already connected the dots. Tools. And what can tools become in a very short period of time? You did it again. a weapon. So as we think this thing through, we begin to see just how frickin' ridiculous this whole thing has become. You know what else I found kind of interesting is the sheriff herself says her office did not notify her until, I think, 35 minutes after the jailbreak. 35 minutes. And then an hour before we notified any of the other policing agencies, of which there are a ton, a dozen probably, that could be looking for these individuals. And if you do the appropriate training for a jailbreak, you know that there's a number of things that are going to happen on a parallel path. Things have to become, to some extent, a little bit more decentralized, and other things become more centralized. But there are multiple parallel paths that have to happen and have to occur. And the real irony here is that most people show up to work at 8:30. That's when they actually, the administrative staff and others, and that's when they found out that there was a jailbreak. So you should have a lot of people within a short distance of the jail. Maybe. Who knows? So that those parallel paths can begin to formulate themselves, begin a maturation process about what it is that they are called upon to do in the event of an escape. And that's when you don't have the situation of 11 versus 10, this, that, or otherwise. If you go to your logs, and if there's a backup to the logs, so that that can be disseminated to someone so that you can pretty much review all of those logs and know exactly where everybody is in that jail. It's actually at that time of the morning, because you haven't really started mustering a lot of people. Well, let me correct that. You may have started mustering some folks to go to court. Hopefully. Hopefully there are some judges that are taking the bench at 8:30 in the morning. And hopefully there are inmates available there for the judge to do what the judges need to do. If not, that's yet another problem. But that's for another day. So we're beginning to see this thing unfold as to the host of what I call WIPs, works in process, that did not happen, should have happened, need to happen on a repetitive basis, with an overlay of uncertainty so that you always keep the inmates guessing. Because if you do the same thing at the same time each and every day, you develop a pattern. They recognize these patterns. They're not fools. And as I said in the blog, they love to embarrass deputies. It's a badge of honor. They take credit for it. They love that. They love to get deputies in trouble. I got a text here that says, I'm telling you, I'm the jail's plumber. The guy they arrested is one of the maintenance guys that escort me when I'm working in there. They don't lock down the dorms when we're in there. I've had inmates try to take my tools. There it is. This is not rocket science. This is penology 101. It doesn't get any easier than this. It's absolutely crazy, and it's going to continue to be embarrassing for the city as this unwinds itself. You know, it's great to run and be the sheriff, but you got to be the sheriff. It's hard work. It's not easy. There's nothing easy about managing a jail. It's a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour operation. You never actually walk away from it. There's always a problem. The one deputy chief that I had that was in charge of the jail, I actually had more conversations with her than probably anyone of all the deputy chiefs because of the complexity. Interaction with the DA's office, interaction with the courts, interaction with the clerk's office, interaction with medical, interaction with visiting lawyers. It's like a mini city, feeding them, trying to keep costs down, trying to do all these things, maintaining an aged infrastructure on a daily basis that is a hotel housing people that all they want to do is wreak havoc and destroy your property. And it's not as simple as standing before the public and saying, oh, well, you know, I've been complaining about the locks. This is not about complaining. This is about doing. This is about communicating. You know, there's a big thing about, I mentioned it yesterday, the DA addressed it in his comments that he has no control about who's going to be moved out into DOC. And we used to fight that battle with DOC all the time. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You can't just notify DOC, yet they have a limited asset that they're trying to manage, and there's 64 parishes trying to pump inmates into that facility, right? And what you got to do is advocate and make the case for you in overcrowded conditions that unless this happens, you're going to start having to release inmates for free. That was the conversation we had weekly. Then you had to have a conversation with the clerk's office that sometimes took long, too long. Thankfully, I never really had this issue. We had a very competent clerk's office with commitment papers. The clerk's office understood that once the individual was sentenced, they had to collect all of the necessary paperwork, the commitment paperwork, in order to get them into the DOC system. They understood the importance. At one point in time, we had an en banc meeting with judges, and we discussed the fact that I was releasing rapists because of jail overcrowded conditions, and it was unacceptable. We had to streamline what we were doing. We had to pay attention to what we're doing. I was very fortunate because I had players within the criminal justice system that frickin' gave a damn. But you had to stay on top of it each and every day because everybody's focused on what they have to do, and there's a lot of pressure in the system. You don't sit back and just think it's going to happen. You got to make it happen. That is your obligation. It's a pain in the neck. But when there's limited assets and resources out there, you got to push every day so that you can maximize every single bed in your jail cell. But if you have this mindset, you're calling them residents, and I'll remind you, when this individual came into office, the optimum size of the jail, in her view, 500. We're at 1,400 right now. 500. And you want to know something? We could be at 2,000. And as the NOPD has increased the number of arrests that they've made, the quality of their investigations, the willingness of the district attorney's office to accept more of these cases, guess what it leads to? Damn, y'all are smart. You got it again, incarceration. But there are some that just don't get it. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Laura Cannizzaro-Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor, to talk a little bit about the background of these 10 individuals who have escaped, four of which we now have back in custody. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Laura, breaking news this morning. You know, one of the maintenance guys says he was threatened by Antoine Massey, who and said he would be shanked if he did not turn the water off. He happens to be one of the inmates still at large. Tell us about Antoine.
So Antoine Massey has a history of violence. He was arrested on domestic abuse charges dating back to November of 2022. Those charges were refused by the DA in November of 2022. He again, it appears, beat up his girlfriend in December of 2023. Those charges were also refused by the DA. And then in March of 2025, he strangles her, and those charges are picked up, and that's what he's currently being held on. So it's no surprise that he would threaten somebody. It seems like he's been threatening people all the way back till at least documented wise. And since 2022, it's just that there's been no action taken against him. So no surprise there. I mean, these are some of the most violent and dangerous criminals in the state and likely in the country. So they're going to do what it takes to accomplish their goals.
And I understand that Antoine Massey's also wanted in St. Tammany Parish for kidnapping and rape as well.
Well, I mean, that doesn't, I didn't document the Orleans, I only documented the Orleans Parish, arrests to show sort of what's been happening in the criminal justice system here. But that information would also be available to any prosecuting agency in New Orleans. So in other words, they would have known about the rape he had been wanted for in St. Tammany when they were evaluating the charges in New Orleans. So essentially what we're seeing is emboldened criminals who are committing crimes spreading into other parishes. That's not uncommon. We're seeing, you know, Jefferson Parish have to really step up to fight the criminals that are released in Orleans. I mean, that's happening all the time. You know, one of the things that in this particular escape, it is rightfully so getting national attention. There are some security issues that definitely need to be addressed here. But one of the things that I thought was important was to note that the release of 10 violent criminals is also known as a Tuesday in Orleans Parish Criminal Court. So, you know, it's really interesting to watch certain people come out horrified and saying they're scared to death about these violent criminals being on the streets, when really that's happening all the time. If you look at the history of just a few of these 10 people who are on the run, or some of them who have been apprehended, we show a history of failures in the criminal justice system. So it's no surprise that when they have an opportunity to escape, they're going to do it. There have been no consequences for their actions. Jermaine Donald was arrested for being a felon in possession of a firearm in July of 2023. He commits murder in August of 2023, just a month later. We have Lenten Van Buren. While he's in jail on a murder charge, he is trying to bring drugs into the jail in December of 2022, October of 2024, November of 2024. All those charges are refused by the DA. In November of 2024, he also beats up a deputy. Those charges refused by the DA. We have Derek Groves, who nobody can explain why he's been sitting there waiting to be sentenced since October of 2024. Just so the public understands, he pled guilty. You are typically sentenced on the same day you plead guilty. That case has been reset by the state 15 times. You know, there is just no excuse for some of the charges that we're seeing here. Leo Tate, an armed robbery was reduced. He was released. In 2021, the DA dismissed a murder charge on him. You know, these go on and on and on. And that's why I think it was so important for the governor to say in his press conference that this is a much larger issue. There is a manhunt. We're going to catch them. We're going to bring them to justice. But this is a revolving door that doesn't just involve the escape out of the jail. An escape is an unintentional act. The sheriff did not mean for these people to be released. Whether she had the proper protocols in place, that's going to be determined by an investigation, and she will have to face the consequences of that. But a release, what we're seeing every day in court by the judges and by the DA, is intentional. They sit there and they decide, will I release this violent criminal? And they're deciding to do so all the time, way more than 10 every few years. They're doing it every day. So the outrage that they need security and that they're scared now is really a slap in the face to victims, because some of these victims who have had perpetrators released, thousands of them released over the course of the last few years, have been offered no protections. They also got no notification. That's another thing we're hearing. Nobody notified us that these people had escaped. And certainly we expect that to happen. We expect law enforcement to notify the press and the public. But let me remind everybody that none of these victims have been notified when their perpetrators have been released. And so it's really important to take this opportunity to reflect a much bigger issue that's going on in Orleans Parish, where they are releasing violent criminals by choice every single day in that building.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because as the governor pointed out, and actually I thought his comments were most appropriate. And I kind of talk about this in two categories. Do you want me to tell you comforting lies, or would you rather hear the unpleasant truths? And I thought when he went to the mic the other day, he outlined the unpleasant truths. They are what they are. It is what it is. And it ain't going to change unless we do something about it. And the sooner that we do something about it, the better it's going to be for everyone here. And I don't know why we find ourselves wanting to not face the unpleasant truths of what's actually going on here each and every day, as you just pointed out. I mean, for everyone that escaped, there's probably five that got let go since the beginning of the year.
I mean, oh, absolutely.
You know,
I agree with you. I agree with you that the governor's comments were the facts of what's going on. That is the reality of it. So to just stand up there and say, this is horrible that these people escaped, is ignoring the really the larger issue that is the root cause of the problem that we have in Orleans Parish. There is a lack of justice happening. So everybody has to remember, every single time one of these perpetrators is released, when charges are dismissed, you know, and that's one of the things that the governor rightfully brought up. Case management is terrible. We have people sitting in a pretrial posture. They are sitting in the parish jails for years waiting for their cases to go to trial. That is not normal. In the federal system, if the case has been sitting for more than 2 years, it's going to trigger some supervising authority to say, what happened? Why are we here so long? Not in the state court. We have these people sitting in parish jails for years waiting for a trial. The DA went on a press conference yesterday and said this is due to a backlog from COVID. You know, it was really horrifying to see none of the reporters in there say, hold on a second. In 2021, his first year in office, he either dismissed or refused over, he dismissed 1,859 cases and refused 1,407 cases. His second year, 2022, he dismissed 500 more, what was left, I guess. And then he went on to refuse a record number of 2,405 cases in Orleans Parish. I mean, this guy dismissed or got rid of thousands and thousands of cases his first 2 years in office. That doesn't include the 349 people that he released in post-conviction. That's totally separate. That means 349 people who had already been convicted by a jury of crimes like murder and rape. He went back and released them. So there's no backlog here. There is no justification to say he's scared. He says, I'm scared. There's one person. I tried the case myself. He might come and get me. What a slap in the face that is to the thousands of victims whose perpetrators have been released in the past few years, who got no notification and no protection. And every time one of these people is released, that makes law enforcement have to go back out and rearrest them, and they're doing it over and over. That's what we're seeing. Just with these 10, we're seeing what a burden that is on law enforcement to say, geez, I arrested this guy a year ago for armed robbery, and now I'm arresting him again. I arrested this guy a year ago for beating up his girlfriend. Here we are again. And every time the criminal is going to get more and more emboldened, and they're going to start taking their shots at law enforcement, too, and it makes it very dangerous out there. What message also does it send to our correctional officers when these guys, as we see on these 10, are literally beating up deputies in prison and the DA is refusing those charges? And I worked in Orleans Parish. I worked in the prison under Sheriff Gussman. And I can tell you what happens in there when they if charges are refused, they're going to mock the deputies. So they're trying to bring drugs into the jail all the time. They're getting caught, and the DA is saying charges refused. So what are they going to do? They're going to bring more drugs in there. They're beating up deputies, and the charges are refused. What are they going to do? I mean, these deputies have no control. These guys are going to beat them up and just laugh all the way back to their cell. So this is a set. This is something I think that was so important that the governor highlighted was this cannot. This is part of a much, much bigger systemic problem. And we can talk about these releases and we can check everybody's face off of our 10 little pictures on the news every morning. But once they're all caught and brought back, we will just go back to the same thing. And escape only happens every 5 years, maybe. And it happens all over the state. If this is, it's the reality of a jail. You have the most dangerous people mm-hmm. housed in a facility. If they can find a way out, they're getting out. That doesn't solve the problem we're facing in Orleans Parish. The problem is, why are these criminals coming in and out of the criminal justice system without consequences over and over? Every single one of these 10 inmates should have been in a secure facility serving a very long sentence. And who dropped the ball every single time before they escaped the Orleans Parish prison? That's the question the public should be asking.
Liz Murrell is going to be coming on the show a little later, and I'm going to ask her as to whether or not they're going to look at the status of these cases, whether or not they were flawed when they were filed. Now, the DA says that a lot of the evidence needed to support these accusations were not brought to his office. If that's true, then the problem lies somewhere else, and it needs to be remediated. I just can't imagine that they don't present evidence in any of these cases. I mean,
remember
I know
this.
Some people that work inside that jail. They're qualified investigators. They know what they're doing. Right? Go ahead.
And remember this. Most of the evidence now is electronic. Evidence is logged directly into evidence.com. That includes body camera. So any allegation that body camera was not available is absolutely false. That's all electronic. You can hear that from any prosecuting agency in the state of Louisiana. Body camera is uploaded to evidence.com. That's absolutely false. Now, when you talk about a charge like battery on a correctional officer that he refused multiple times, there is no evidence but the deputy himself. Issue a subpoena, he comes to court, he takes the stand, he says, Leo Tate beat me up on this day, this is what happened, and that's it. And he accepted some of those. So that is absolutely makes no sense that there was no evidence available. It's the testimony of one deputy on a contraband case and on a battery.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's kind of why I said what I had to say yesterday, because I know what was going to happen, and I left it out. Well, you know, then you're going to believe the police officer? Well, they have to make those credibility calls every day. I mean, just look in the domestic abuse landscape. Usually it's a swearing contest, right? You got to believe somebody, you know, there. So
you know,
this is not out of the ordinary. So anybody that tries to make it sound like it's out of the ordinary, they're lying to you. They're not telling the truth.
Well, that's exactly right. Anybody in law enforcement knows a narcotics case is a deputy or a law enforcement officer testifying, period. That's it. So that means under that theory, you could never take a narcotics case. You don't have witnesses to narcotics cases. You don't have a witness say, I was sitting at Walgreens when I observed a hand-to-hand transaction. No, that's law enforcement only. That is the testimony that gets a conviction in every narcotics case, in every parish in the state of Louisiana and across the country. So to say you need a separate witness for that, you don't use DNA for narcotics. That relies on the testimony of one officer, period. It happens all the time, all over the country. So anything to the contrary of that is somebody who doesn't have any knowledge of what's going on.
And it's why I used to tell the men and women of the JPSO that we are in the credibility business. And without it, you're nothing. And so remember, if do not fudge a case. We'll get them next time. Because the beautiful thing about most of these criminals, they're stupid. They're going to do it again. And we'll get them next time.
Exactly.
So if we don't have it perfect this time, walk, and we'll get them the next time.
Well, that's right. And that happens a lot in narcotics cases. I mean, that's the reality of it. Those are
absolutely
tough cases.
Absolutely.
And the detectives usually are.
I have to get out. If you can stay with us, we'll come back to you for a few minutes. Laura Cannizzaro-Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mamas for Bayou Mama Bears and former Orleans prosecutor. Can you stay for another minute or so?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're back with Laura Cannizzaro-Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor. Final thoughts, Laura?
Yeah, you know, I think that this whole conversation has opened up the opportunity to get a view of what's really happening in criminal court. I am thrilled about the heightened review of the judiciary that we heard from the governor will be coming. I think that's absolutely necessary. I am thrilled about the heightened review of case management, cases that are being refused, cases that are being dismissed. And I think it's time that everybody pay as much attention to the treatment of victims with the release of violent criminals as they are with this situation with escapes, because they've been living this for years and they have certainly got no notifications, no protections, nothing like that. And so this is a day for them to say, we've been saying this for a long time. The conversation is bigger, and I hope that's what we find here.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Laura Cannizzaro-Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Kay Eusen, Executive Director, Mission Rebirth, on our NOLA Coalition segment. In the back half of the next hour, Liz Murrell, Louisiana's Attorney General, joins us. We'll talk about the jailbreak, House Bill 675, and House Bill 64.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.